Hi, so I'm Andy Bryce. I'm going to talk today about rockets, partly for teenagers and partly for adults. And I'm hoping at the end of this talk that it'll encourage some of you to get involved in model rocketry in general and in the UK Youth Rocketry Challenge in particular. So, as any parent knows, one of the main jobs as a parent is to keep your child entertained. And it can be a lot of hard work. So we tried all sorts of things to keep our son entertained, and myself and my wife, being sort of scientists and geeks by training, tried to get him interested in lots of science and geeky things. So we tried all sorts of different things: Kinects, Lego, electronics, scratch programming, making your own go-kart and things like that. Some were really hits, most of them weren't. One of the ones that was definitely a hit was model rocketry. And so we saw somebody launching an Estes kit, one of these little American model kits, and we thought, oh, that looks interesting, let's have a go at that. So we bought one of the kits and we took it into the local polo ground, and to the consternation of all the local dog walkers, launched a few rockets, landed one of them rather close to a dog walker for our comfort. But we had a lot of fun and we learned a lot, and we thought, oh yeah, we'd quite like to do some more of that. So just a quick digression to talk about model rockets. So the sections of a model rocket is obviously you have your pointy nose cone at the top, that's for aerodynamic purposes so it can go through the air nice and smoothly. You have a top section where in competitions you'll generally have a payload. You might also have some electronics or some avionics. And then you have a separate bottom section which will often split off to deploy a parachute. The parachute is attached via a shock cord to the body of the rocket. Then you'll have some Nomex or some wadding which protects the parachute from getting melted by the ejection charge, which I'll talk about a little bit. And then you have a motor which is held in a retainer or assembly. And then you have the fins for aerodynamic stability. And then you have either lugs or buttons which allows the rocket to follow a rod or rail as it launches. And then you have glue, lots of glue, okay, wood glue and epoxy resin usually for holding the whole thing together. And on the pictures you can see here, that's an altimeter, so a little cheap Estes altimeter. So that's actually a little barometer. It measures the change in pressure as you go up. You reach the top of your flight, the apogee, and it measures the pressure change and will give you a height in feet or meters. So you can see that one got to something like 937 feet. And then you have an ignition system. So the solid fuel motors have a little, usually magnesium igniter, which you attach through suitably long cables to a 9-volt battery. The current goes through the magnesium, ignites it, gets it really hot, and that sets the motor off. As an optional extra, you can have things like a video camera. So in the pictures here, you can see there's a little keychain video camera. They're about £50. We bought one of those to attach to the rocket to get some videos, and so we could see what was going on at the top of the flight. And that worked surprisingly well. Okay, so just a bit about the model motors. So the motors that we use and are used in 95% of amateur rocketry are solid fuel motors. So they're a powdered mixture of fuel, which could be sugar or anything energetic, and an oxidizer. And I mean, you could actually make your own ones fairly easily from sugar and stump remover as your oxidizer, but don't, because that's illegal. It's not legal to make your own rocket motors in the UK without having a certificate. So please don't. Most of the sort of low power rocket motors are black powder, which is sort of like gunpowder basically, and some of the higher performance ones are APCP, which is ammonium perchlorate composite propellant. Okay, and so they basically are ignited, they'll burn for a certain amount of time with a certain profile. Some of them burn very quickly, some of them quite slowly, and then usually after a certain period of time, 3, 5, 7 seconds, they will have an ignition charge. So this is a little black powder charge that blows the parachute out and blows usually the rocket into two separate sections. Okay, and you can buy them with different delays. So you can see there's a picture here of one of our rockets, and it's got a cluster of 5 of these APCP motors from a German company called Klima, and they're in a 3D printed assembly that we printed, designed and built. The motors are rated according to their impulse. So if you remember your school physics, the impulse is the force times the time. And they start off with A, which is a very small little hobby one. That's 2.5 Newton seconds. And they get up to the bigger ones like F, which is the sort of thing we use for the competitions I'll be talking about. And then it goes right round the clock, back to AA, AB, A, and if you get up to AG, that's a Saturn V. Okay, I don't think anyone's ever made a solid fuel motor that big. So as I say, mostly hobbyists use solid fuel motors. Some of the really sophisticated people use hybrid or liquid motors, but I haven't got time to talk about those. These model motors are pretty safe. They're very hard to ignite, but once they do ignite, they will burn underwater. Okay, they're impossible to put out. So you do need to be a little bit careful with them. Okay, so the challenges of model rocketry are making the rocket nice and light and strong, because every gram of weight you add on a small model rocket, you'll probably lose a meter or two of altitude. But obviously it's got to be strong enough that you don't have a spontaneous disassembly as it's powering off the rocket pad. It's got to be nice and symmetrical. If you put your fins on a bit wonky, it's gonna go off in some direction or other rather than straight up. And also it needs to be aerodynamically stable. And I don't have too much time to go into this, but basically your center of mass needs to be forward of your center of pressure. If it's not, when it goes, it will go like a toy balloon that you've blown up and let go, and it will just go everywhere. Okay, so if you have your weight in the nose cone and some nice big fins for aerodynamic stability at the back, it should be nice and stable. Interestingly, you don't want it to be too stable. If you put absolutely massive fins on something, that will add to the weight, and it also will mean it's so stable that even in a light wind, it will what's called weathercock, and it will go into the wind, it will vector into the wind, which will reduce your height. So you want it to be stable, but probably not too stable. And also you've got to time the parachute apogee. Okay, so as it reaches the apogee, the top of the flight, that's about where you want the parachute to deploy. If the parachute deploys while it's still traveling very fast upwards, then it will tear the parachute out of the rocket or tear the parachute apart. And similarly, if you wait till it's too close to the ground, it will destroy the parachute and you won't have a happy day. So you have to get the timing right as well. Okay, so we've done a little bit of model rocketry, made a few kits, had some fun, and then we heard about a competition called UK ROC, the UK Youth Rocketry Challenge, and it's run by the ADS, the UK Trade Association for Aerospace Defence, Security and Space. I had to write that down because I couldn't remember it. And it's sponsored by Airbus, who are the main sponsor, and Lockheed Martin. And it's a competition to get children interested in engineering challenges in general and aerospace in particular, because we're short of 10,000 aerospace engineers in the UK. So, you know, these big companies are trying to do what they can to get more people interested. And so we needed a team of 3 to 6 11 to 18 year olds. So my son John and two of his friends, Ben and Ewan, decided to enter a team. We couldn't get the school very interested. No, none of the teachers wanted to take it on. So I decided to be sort of team mentor or team manager. Okay, so the rules of UK ROC are that you have to get an egg, a raw egg, to 850 feet and back to the ground again in one piece without it cracking in as close as possible to 45 seconds. Every foot that you're different from that 850 feet and every second you're different from that 45 seconds, you lose points. You have to try and get as close as possible to that. If your egg is cracked at all, then your flight is disqualified and doesn't count, although usually you get another chance. Okay, and no, you're not allowed to hard-boil the egg. Many people have suggested that. There's various restrictions on how heavy your rocket is, what length it is, and how big the motor can be. Also, if you get through to the final, you do a presentation, and that's taken into account in the final scoring. You can't use an off-the-shelf kit, and the rules change a little bit every year. Some years it has to land in two pieces with one egg, or in one piece with two eggs, or the diameters are different, so that you can't just take last year's competition rocket and enter it the next year. You'd have to build another rocket. Okay, so the factors covering the height are the motor impulse. Obviously, the more powerful the motor, the higher it will go, and the burn profile also makes a difference, how fast it burns, the weight of the rocket critically, the aerodynamics, you know, how nice and pointy is your nose cone, and also the wind, because if there's a strong wind, which there might be on the day, you might end up vectoring into the wind and losing some height. The duration is affected by how high you go, your parachute size and how quickly your parachute deploys, and also any thermal. So if you're launching on days when there's a lot of thermal activity, that can affect how quickly the parachute falls. Okay, simulation is your friend. So you can get some software. This is Open Rocket. You can download it off the internet for free, and you can put in everything about your rocket. So here you can see our team's rocket, one of the designs, and you can put in how heavy it is, how long it is, what motor it's got, and it will give you some predictions of how high it will go and how long it will take to come back to the ground. Now, I have to say, these are only very approximate because it doesn't have all the details of your aerodynamics or something. So it's sort of spherical cow in a vacuum type accurate. And we found we could get within about 15% using Open Rocket of what the real figures were. Okay, so this is real engineering, okay? It's on a small scale, but it's real engineering because you're delivering a product with constraints of time and budget and how much Dad's prepared to spend. And a lot of skills were learned about planning and design and CAD and 3D printing and so on. And what we found out is that old adage, rocket science is easy, but rocket engineering is hard, it is quite an accurate one. The image you can see there is a housing for our little video camera that we designed. I think we adapted it from some other design and modified it to fit on the rocket and printed, did all the 3D CAD, or the boys did, I wasn't involved in this, and then 3D printed it. And that worked very well. So this is us starting to prepare for our first UK rock. So the main tube, one of them was a spiral bound tube, which you can buy off Amazon. The other one was a Pringles tube, which is strong, light and full of yummy food substitute. And so you can see the various other bits here. So you're allowed to buy things off the shelf, but it's just not allowed to be a kit that you bought wholesale. In the middle picture here, you can see the production line or organization, teenage boy style. And so we used various 3D laser printing and cutting to produce some of the components and made our own balsa ply and so on. But what we found is that the schools, although they all have 3D printers, don't know how to use them, most of them. They get it out of the cupboard, show it to the parents on Parents' Day, print a little tugboat, put it back in the cupboard to next year, and none of the teachers knew anything really about how to use them. So the boys got really quite expert with the 3D printer. The Swindon Makerspace, I don't know if there's anyone here from the Swindon Makerspace. I know they're here somewhere. They were very helpful in getting us started and helping us to actually learn a bit about 3D printing. The boys are quite expert now. And we also did some laser cutting. And also the school technician, although none of the teachers seemed that interested, the school technician, Mr. Vinson, was very supportive and helped the boys and gave them access to the 3D printers and the laser cutters. Okay, so we had to do a lot of testing, as with any sort of engineering thing. This mostly involved throwing things out of windows as high as we could get them, you know, to test padding for the eggs. Did the egg crack? Or did it survive? Some eggs were damaged in that process. We also tested the parachutes, and so the boys found the highest thing they could get access to was a building at the school, and they were throwing parachutes out of there until an irate teacher screamed at them to stop, because apparently the parachutes kept bouncing off the window that was open below and putting off his class. We did some test flights from the school fields. One of the senior staff of the school came out and watched very nervously as we launched our first rocket. We ran various simulations. Here you can see some of the eggs were dedicated to their favourite teachers, drew their faces on. They all survived, I'm glad to say. So we went to UK Rock Regional in one of the schools in Bath. And this is the team. That's Ewan on the left, Ben in the middle, and John on the right. and this is them assembling their rocket, and they're very strict at the competition. The team has to do everything. If any adults are seen interfering or doing too much, the team gets disqualified. They want to know that it's actually the youngsters that have done the work and understand things, and it's not some adult who's just been doing it all for them. One of our launches, the rocket amazingly managed massive open fields and everything, and it managed to land dead center in the canal. And so we had to say to a passing canal boat pilot, "Please, sir, can we have our rocket back?" He managed to fish it out. It was a better rocket than it was a boat, but we managed to pull all their dead motors out and get some more in and launch it again. And we did enough. We didn't win the regional, but we did enough to get through to the national final as a runner-up. So we built another rocket, slightly improved. As I sort of bankrolled it all with some help from one of the other parents, I put the name of my little software company on the side of the rocket as a bit of free publicity to no one in particular. And here you can see the rocket in one of the pictures is getting scrutinized, so it's being checked for weight and height, and also for safety. They want to make sure nothing's going to fall off. Check out the Go Fastest flames on the side, which are a teenage addition. So we had a great time, a really great experience at the UK Rock Final, and we came ninth overall. The boys actually got a perfect score for their presentation, so that was great. Now, it should be said in rocketry, failure is always an option. Okay, we all hear that, failure is not an option. If you're that sort of person, don't do rocketry, because it definitely is an option. Okay, we've seen so many different failure modes and ways for things to blow up and parachutes to rip out and parachutes not to open. So you have to be pretty resilient, because you can guarantee that not all of your rockets are going to succeed, especially in the early days. On the plus side, when rockets fail, it does tend to be pretty spectacular. So you can see here one of the bottom of one of that rocket has blown out. One of these Klima motors exploded in mid-flight and blew the bottom of the rocket out. And all the rocketry, we were sort of quite despondent and thought, well, that's it, no more flights for us. But the rocketry guys are very supportive, and they said, oh no, just saw off the last 4 inches, stick the fins back on and go again. So we did that, and we had actually quite a successful launch with our Franken rocket. And I will just quickly show you this picture. This is from the onboard video camera. I think so. Got some pretty amazing pictures for a little cheap video camera. The first one, you can see the top one, is the motor catoing, sort of just blowing the bottom of the rocket out. And the second one, you can see our whole 3D printed rocket assembly heading off into the next county with some beautiful Mac diamonds are visible. It turns out that a rocket assembly with no fins has a very high power to weight ratio and a very low stability, so I wouldn't recommend it. Okay, so we had a great time, and we decided we would enter again. One of the team, Ewan, dropped out because he wanted to concentrate more on his A-levels, so the boys managed to persuade Sanjay to join the team to get us back up to 3 people. We made various improvements. For example, we switched from having multiple motors in a cluster to having a single bigger motor, and we went from a rod launch to a rail launch. Rods have a bad habit of whipping as the rocket goes off the end and throwing off to one side. Rails are more consistent, and we made a number of other improvements. And of course, most importantly, you see we've got a very cool paint job, courtesy of a friend of one of the boys. So again, we went to the regional. We got through the regional as runner-up. We didn't win, but we got through to the final, which is up in the Midlands. We went up into the final. We had a good flight. The boys did an excellent presentation, and we got through into the final 3. So they have the best 3 get through into a final fly-off, and they measure the times and the altimeters, and then you don't know the results. So it's all quite nail-biting. And it came down to the final 3, and we won the national. So that was brilliant. Very proud dad here. I have to say, it was very close. There was a young team from Farringdon who were really, really good, and there was only like a puff of wind in it. There's definitely some luck involved. So as the winner of the national UK Rock, we got a £500 trophy, £500 a trophy, a VIP day at Airbus getting toured around, and the chance to go and represent the UK at the Paris Air Show against the best French and American teams, French, American and Japanese teams. and a packet of roses as well, as you can see. So we went to the Paris Air Show, which was an amazing experience. And we were there with the three other best teams. Here you can see the boys doing their presentation, which they aced. They got 58 out of 60 on the presentation, so they got the best presentation. And I think we got the best flight of the day as well. And there was just all round a pretty incredible experience. We got one launch each. They stopped the whole Paris Air Show. All the jets and everything got grounded while we did our launches. Amusingly, there was a Rafael jet warming up on the side of the runway, and it was an incredibly hot day. It was about 40 degrees. The Japanese rocket went down and had a massive parachute, caught a huge thermal bubble, just stopped and started going sideways towards this French Rafale fighter jet. And thankfully, somebody at the control tower must have warned him. He rapidly turned his engine off before, and the Japanese rocket landed a meter away from this plane. I mean, if it got sucked through the jet intake, I'm guessing that would have been millions of pounds of damage. So this is a little sequence of our launch. So we had a great launch. Right, just quick warning, this is going to spin around a lot. This is the video camera from on board, and hopefully it's going to work with sound. So if you're very motion sick, you might want to look away for a second. Okay, so this is just a little short video from on board of our actual launch at the competition. And you'll hear some bleeping, hopefully. Yeah, so the bleeping, that's the altimeter that's on there that's going to tell the official height. They were quite worried about the ground catching light because it was such a dry day. You see, part of our Union Jack came off. Okay, so there's the parachute deployment right at apogee, so that was pretty good. And then it's just floating down. The rules were it had to divide into two sections with the egg and the nose section. If you look carefully, you can see the other section coming down behind it. Only the nose section was timed. Okay, and then it's just about on the ground. And then thump, an unceremonious landing. Okay, so forgive the brag, but we won. So proud dad. So we beat, most importantly, we beat the Americans, which is, of course, what we all wanted to do. And so we had an absolutely amazing time. We were there for 2 days. The team got to shake hands with the French Prime Minister. They got to shake hands with several astronauts, including Charlie Duke, who's walked on the moon, and Mike Bloomfield, a shuttle pilot. And they got to hang out with loads of, like, Top Gun American US Air Force pilots and get private tours around the planes and things, and they got to meet the space chicken. And they came back with a suitcase load of swag, of baseball caps and USB keys and stickers. So following that, having won that, we got to go to the Houses of Parliament, where we got to meet the great and the not so good. Here we are with the lovely Dame Maggie Adrin Pocock, who was brilliant. It turned out had done work related to missiles, so she was quite interested in what we'd done. I have to say, trying to get a rocket into the House of Commons was quite entertaining, as we turned up at security and said, "We've got a rocket," and some eyebrows are raised, but we did finally persuade them to let us in. The boys also got to launch another rocket for their school sports day, to open the sports day, just as a sort of celebration of their achievements. And that's the picture of the three of them there, with Dave Tranter of UK Rock, who's been very supportive and came out to, shall we say, temper their youthful exuberance and make sure that everything went well, because they don't listen to their parents. And we also had our VIP day at Torbus with the two runners-up teams, which was brilliant. Okay, so since that, we've been to Midland Sky, which is an amateur rocketry event where people launch some pretty serious stuff. This big missile, the big rocket you can see here, goes up to quite a height. Some of the amateur rocketry go up to about 10,000 feet, and they have to actually phone up air traffic control and get permission, and some of them make the ground shake. There's some pretty impressive stuff, and some people even do liquid rockets. So John and Ben have now both got their high power rocketry level 1 certification, and they're both planning to go out to America this summer to do their level 2. which will be a rocket that goes over the speed of sound and hopefully to about 10,000 feet. John is currently studying his A levels, hopefully revising right now to go to Southampton or Sheffield University to do aerospace and aeronautics engineering. Ben is going to be doing physics and data science, and Sanjay is going to be a lawyer. So, 2 out of 3 is not bad. You can't win them all. Okay, so the reason I did this talk mainly was just to try and get raise awareness of UK Rock and hopefully get some more people involved. It's a brilliant competition, it's very well run, and I think it's brilliant that these big companies do this. It's a very thoughtful and useful way to get people involved. Rocketry is a gateway drug for STEM. You know, you might do the rocketry and then go and become some other sort of engineer, electronics or software or whatever, but this is a real engineering project. The UK really needs a lot more engineers and programmers. I should say, although our team was all boys, there's plenty of girls involved in UK Rock, and all girls teams have won before, so please don't think that it's just for the boys. So we had an amazing experience at UK Rock. I mean, obviously it was pretty special for us because we won, but even if we hadn't won, it still would have been an incredibly worthwhile experience. And so I definitely recommend that people think about encouraging their schools or youth groups or scouts to enter. Right, and I'm just going to quickly finish off. So I'll just quickly say, UK Rock, you probably need at least £400 to enter. You've got to pay for your compulsory insurance. Altimeter and motors are about £20 a launch. The rest of it's all pretty cheap. It's mostly just cardboard and glue. But maybe need to get some sponsorship for it. And I'm just going to finish off with this video that I show you with permission from Scott Manley's excellent channel. So I'm just going to remind you, in the words of the founder of Honda, success is 99% failure, and that is very true in rocketry. So I'm just going to shut up and let you enjoy the song.
That your rocket just crashed into the ground, and you didn't go to space to play. When you try to stop taking ball life, you will not go to space today. When your hydraulic fluid gets you stuck, you will not go to space today. When you lose contact with ground control, you will not go to space today. That your payload simply failed to deploy, and you didn't go to space today. Are you DNFTS who ruin any day? Sometimes a pro little brave are burnt up in the air. If a helium dick just won't stay blue, you will not go to space today. If there's so
beautiful.
Great.
That really was beautiful. Take a bow.
Right, thank you very much. I hope I've inspired some of you. Go and talk to teachers and people you know and maybe get some of them to take part in UK Rock. I'm going to be outside in the QA tent for the next 10 or 15 minutes. If anyone's got any questions or just see me walking around tomorrow, I'll be here tomorrow. Just come up and ask me. I'm happy to talk about rocketry in general or UK Rock in particular. Thank you very much.